I like that. Instead of a silence, I wonder, does just like laughter. Trick question. All right, very good. So we got to keep it simple, right? John 3:16 is not a right or an inheritance. This is a gift, remember? So you're saved. Great. Are you walking in the Spirit? Excellent. Walking in the Spirit, giving my life to Jesus every day. Living by Micah 6:8. What does that say? Just nutshell, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Giving Jesus my bad stuff. Not working to change myself, but letting God transform me from the inside on His timetable. It's not my job to beat myself up when I don't change my behavior on my timetable. So that's not my job. It's my job to give it to God again the next day, and again the next day, and again the next day. And when God is ready, He will flip the switch. In the meantime, whose problem is it? It's God's problem. It's not my problem. It's God's problem. I'm giving it to Him. I'm walking. I'm living in the Spirit. That's right. I've done my part. I'm free. I'm living in and through the Spirit. So I am saved if I have that. So am I saved if I have that spiritual problem that I haven't taken care of yet? Oh, be careful. There are so many things wrong with this question. I mean, it's like one of those questions like, have you quit beating your wife yet? You know, what are you going to say to that, right? Just like there's no way to answer that and come out anyway. I mean, so if it's my spiritual, is it my spiritual problem, first of all, if I've given it to God? No, it's God's problem. And who's taking care of it? Is it me? No, it's God, right? So the whole premise of the question's wrong, right? So remember, we got to keep it simple. Romans 8 is very simple when it comes. Is there's no condemnation if we belong to Christ Jesus. So if we've given our problems to God, if we've asked Him to save us, we belong to God. And if we keep on doing this, we are living in the Spirit. And if we live in the Spirit frees us from the power that leads us to death. That's Romans 8, 1 and 2. And remember, he expands a little bit further in Romans 5 to 8. Those who are dominated by sinful things are going to lead to bad stuff, lead to death. But if you're staying in the Spirit, it's going to lead us to life and peace. Life of peace. And that's what we're looking for. So who can change us from inside? The Spirit. That's right. So now you are controlled by the Spirit if the Spirit is living in you. So by letting the Holy Spirit work in us, that's what's happening. So we also talked about, last time we talked a little about personal significance. Remember, we are small, insignificant. We're like grass and we'll all soon be gone, right? But God has valued us as priceless and redeemed us anyway, even though we're not that significant. And our lives become relevant, and we retain our significance only through our connection with Jesus and the gift of salvation that Jesus gave us. Without Jesus, this earth will not remember us anymore once we're gone for a few years. They won't remember us at all, right? But I am significant if I cast my lot with Jesus. Then we will have treasure in heaven. So let's follow Him. So where does that leave us? We have salvation. We have victory in Christ through His work with the Holy Spirit. And we have eternal significance. Well, what else is there? Well, Jesus had more for us in mind, right? He has more in mind for us than just keeping this unbelievable gift to ourselves, right? Whiling our way between potlucks and focusing on ourselves, right? I mean, He's got more for us in mind. He wants more for us. And what does He want? So I thought I'd explore that a little bit today. In Matthew 5, Jesus describes the followers as difference makers on the earth. Difference makers here. Not in the sense of power or glory or pushing each other around. I mean, we have enough of that in politics today, right? I mean, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about riches. We're not talking about glory. We're talking about showing love and caring and bringing this to just a thirsty world. This is what we're talking about. And can we do this on our own? No, we can't. So we're back to how do we do that? Let's talk a little bit about what Micah 6:8. This is kind of our marching orders from God. I mean, this is, you know, what does it say? It says do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Now that's in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Is there anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus kind of expounds on this? And it so happens that there is. In Matthew 5, the Beatitudes is an extension of Micah 6:8. So I'm just going to read this together. Let's just read this together. So Matthew 5 starts in verse 3. And God blesses those. Well, wait for you to get your Bibles out here for just a moment. Flick through the phone till you get it. It's all good. My dad used to say, I love to hear those pages turn in the Bible. Now I like to hear the fingers tap. So the Beatitudes, chapter 5, verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need of him, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That sounds like walking humbly to me. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Walking humbly again. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, verse 6, or I'm sorry, hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. There's that justice part of Micah 6:8. Verse 7, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Justice, humility, mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. So, you get that. I mean, Jesus is basically just making an extension of Micah 6:8 here. And then he moves to a different angle. You are my followers, and you are here for a reason. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how can it be made salty again? It's really no longer good for anything. It's dirt. And it's going to be swept up and hauled outside. Right? Salt in antiquity was a valuable commodity. Salt was vital. Without salt, we can't live. Okay, it was so precious in some communities that it served as the currency, and it was made the currency at times in Roman times. In fact, the word salary comes from salt allowance. Yeah. So salt, in essence, it's not evenly distributed throughout the world. That there are pockets of it here and there, and the Dead Sea is one of those. That's why we hauled that up. I mean, you can see that, you know, why we put that up for the children's story, because you can see there's a lot of salt there of different kinds. There's also a depression in Ethiopia where the seawater would come in from the Red Sea and at times, and it would inundate this area, and it's called the Danakil Depression. Of the Afar region of northeastern Ethiopia. It's part of the Great Rift Valley. And it was, and huge salt, the huge salt deposits are there. And that would be the part of the train of this commodity be hauled all over Africa and into the Middle East as well. So salt has been something that the disciples understood, that the people around Jesus understood when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the seasoning. You are the difference makers in the world. And the world desperately needs what we have to offer, the message of God. We are like salt. Our message is valuable. Which message is that? Salvation, walking in the Spirit, right? These sorts of things are very valuable. Jesus moves on in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a stand and give so it can give light to everyone in the house. Well, light in antiquity was, that means ancient times for you kids. Light in antiquity was also a precious commodity. Light was made from beeswax candles, from oil lamps, and both were expensive. Light was meant to be shared at night. And we get a feeling of that from the different parables that Jesus has. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? You know, they needed light. You know, they didn't have light. What happened? I mean, they were in trouble. You know, so this is, you get the idea that this was a valuable thing. Guess who else is the light of the world? See, John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't what? Walk in darkness. That's right. And because you have Jesus living in you, we are now part of the light of the world. Remember the story of the vine and the branches? Jesus says, apart from me, you can't do anything, right? And if we're plugged into the vine, if we're plugged into that light source, if we have that connection, right, then we are part of Jesus' ministry. We are part of the light that he's going to shine to the darkest places in this world. In the same way, let your light so shine before men so they may see your good deeds and glorify who? Glorify your Father who's in heaven. Not glorify us, right? Our deeds are, you know, dubious at best. It's the difference is the power that God puts through us that makes us that light. So we are the in Christ, and we are also part of that light to the world. So what do you have that the world does not have? Well, we have salvation, we have the Spirit, we have eternal significance. And all these are freely given to us. Jesus is asking us to share this with the world. But sharing God's generosity does not come naturally. See, for a long time it was considered an inheritance. And if it's an inheritance, it's mine, right? And others are not privileged to own it because it's mine, right? In Jonah 3 and 4, we heard Doug Hartzell was talking earlier about how Jonah ran away from God. He did not want to share this light with the heathen, right? He wanted them to go down in flames, literally. You know, that's what he wanted, right? Because these people were the ones that were persecuting Israel. They had laid waste, you know, I don't know how many villages, I mean, towns, everything except for Jerusalem itself, hauled away thousands into captivity. So, if I worked really hard to gain salvation, I would be sure that others work just as hard too. In fact, few would pass the mark, right? Because I would be a Pharisee, right? So fortunately, that's not how God sees it. And there's a great illustration here, and this comes from our scripture reading today. Let's look up Matthew 20, verses 1, and we'll kind of go on till 16 here with some interlude. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius. Kids, how much is a denarius? It's a day's wages, right? Yeah, you remember that, right? Yeah, I'm sure you do. Okay, good. So it's a day's wages, okay? A day's wages, full day's wages, which is cool. I mean, everyone was, you know, that's what they're entitled to, right? So, but this story isn't about money. What does a denarius represent in this parable? The denarius represents salvation. In this parable, okay, this is what Jesus is going to give you. You know, what do you do? What do you get for working in Jesus' vineyard, for working for him? I mean, you get salvation. That's what this is about. You get salvation. So, about 9 o'clock in the morning. See, this was 6 o'clock in the morning when he went by, and early in the morning, and about 9 o'clock he comes by again. And there's more guys hanging out here, and they look like they need work. Do you want to work? Oh yeah, we want to work. Okay, come out to my vineyard. I'll pay you what's right. So they come out and start working. About 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, he comes back again. Sure enough, there's more people. He sends them out to the vineyard. Noon, same thing. 3 o'clock, same thing. 5 o'clock. What time is quitting time, by the way? About 6. 5 o'clock. One more hour left to go. He comes out. There's still people there. Come on out to my vineyard. I'll pay you what's right. They come out and work for that last hour. Okay? I don't know. I've lost track where I am in the story here. All right. So the workers were hired about 5 in the afternoon, came out, and each... Okay, so when the evening came, 6 o'clock comes around, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers in and pay them their wages, beginning with the ones last ones hired and going to the first. So the workers who were hired about 5 o'clock came, and each of them received a denarius. That's what I call a bonus there, right? Huge money. And when those who were hired first, what are they thinking? They're expecting more, right? But each one received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were last hired only worked an hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the heat of the day. Sounds like whining to me. Anyway. But he answered them and said, Am I being unfair to you, friend? Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. If I want to give the one who I hired last the same as you, don't I have the right to do that with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So what does this show? God is going to give us the gift of salvation to anyone who believes, no matter when they come to him. Jesus is incredibly generous. Incredibly generous. So, we are light and we are salt, and we have a message for the world. God wants us to share this incredible message about the gift of salvation and a life in the Spirit with the people around us. But there's one problem. Okay? I know this. I am weak and powerless on my own. I'm not even to do something as simple as and easy as sharing salvation with the people around me without his power. I'm just not going to do it. I see the writing on the wall. Can't do it. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and transformed them from fearful men to brave warriors for Christ. And I know that I need some of that same power, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to do anything. I'm going to need Jesus to flip that switch in me, right? Because I just can't. I just know it's just not going to happen. And you know, when you think about it, we talked about in the lesson today, we talked about how Adam and Eve, before the fall, they walked with God, right? They walked in the evening. They walked with God, right? So Jesus, he didn't have any special advantage when he was here on earth. He had no special power except what God gave him. I mean, what did Jesus do to get God's power? He walked with God. He walked with God. I mean, you always hear him, you know, he got up early in the morning to pray. He was praying. He was constantly praying. He was really keeping that connection. He was so centered on keeping that connection with God. He walked with God. He surrendered to God at all times. I mean, even when it came to the cross, what does he say? Not my will, but yours be done. Okay, he surrendered at all times. It was, and that's kind of that's where I think that, you know, you look at Enoch. What was the deal with Enoch? What did he do? He walked with God, right? I want that walk. And I'm sure each one of you want that walk too. We need to walk with God. We need to be transformed. And if we ask, God will do that for us. Because this is why God has brought us here. God has brought us here for such a time as this. And he is ready to shower us with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This will give us power to witness for Jesus. Without the power of Christ, we can do nothing. With Christ's power, we can lead sinners to God. And we can change this world. We can change our world. We can change this area for Jesus. So, in summary, what do we have? Salvation is only through Jesus. It's not inheritance. It's impossible to obtain it except for the gift of God. Right? Life is Jesus. Walking in the Spirit leads to life, hope, and peace. And today we're going to ask for the power of God to transform us so that we can take this message to the people in our sphere of influence. I mean, we're going to have an evangelistic series here soon, it sounds like, from the pastor. So how are we going to do that? Are we going to be able to ask people and really kind of get out there and bring people, is that something that we're going to be able to do on our own? I don't think so. This is where God's going to do the work. He is going to make the difference for eternity through his power. So what I'd like to do today, I'd like to spend a few minutes dividing up in groups of 3 to 5, somewhere in that. I'd like us to pray, because this is what we really need. We need this. We need to pray. If you haven't gotten salvation, if you haven't figured that out, if you haven't got the gift, ask for it. If you need to walk with the Spirit, ask for that. But the one thing I really want us all to ask for today is ask Jesus for the power to share his message to the people in our sphere of influence. So let's take a few minutes. Let's get together and let's pray. We'll just spend 5 minutes doing this, and then we'll finish up.